This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Oklahoma Republican Senator James Inhofe. We want to get his thoughts today on health care reform legislation, as well as some other key policy issues in the news at week's end. And Senator, it's great to have you with us.
Well, nice to be with you, Greg.
Well, you're on the quiet side of Capitol Hill right now, anyway, with all the chaos going on in the House. But if, in fact, the Democrats can find the votes to pass this plan, it'll get very chaotic very quickly on your side. What are you expecting in the House, and what are you prepared for in the Senate?
Well, I gave up on the vote count over there because I'm not that close to it. But I would say this. People should understand that there is a possibility they'll do it right, which would be a vote on the rule on the Senate bill and then a second vote on the reconciliation. But they keep talking about if they don't have the votes that they made a deal, that if they just have one recorded vote on the rule on the reconciliation bill, that's a payoff bill, Greg. That's what they're, you know, how they're paying off all these people for their votes. And then by that vote, the Senate bill would automatically be deemed passed. In the eyes of the public, they'll never get by with that. And I can't imagine that. I guess the only thing I can say is that Obama is so eloquent in his own mind that he thinks he can explain anything. That'll be kind of fun to watch. Then the other thing is, just make this one statement about people that talk about the CBO report, and he says this is going to reduce. Well, that's garbage. The same CBO report, what he neglected to say, it has an overall tax increase of $569.2 billion and a reduction in the Medicare of $523. Well, you add those together, and that's, what, about $1.1 trillion.
Correct.
And he says that it's going to be cutting it by 900. Well, he forgot to net that out. So it's going to be very expensive. And it would leave, if it's passed, about 20 million people in America without any coverage. So it doesn't do anything they said it would do. Let's wait and see.
Senator, if in fact they do pass this by whatever means and it comes to the Senate, obviously many of these fence-sitting Democrats have been promised that the Senate will go along with these proposed changes or fixes in this reconciliation plan. What do you expect to happen to those changes once they get to the Senate?
Well, first of all, and I'm glad you stated it that way, Greg, because a lot of people don't realize that that's option two. That means they pass the Senate bill. If they do that without any changes, it goes, it'll become law, I would say, 1 minute after the gavel hits. You're going to have the president over there ready to sign it because it doesn't have to come back to the Senate. But then immediately, though, the payoff bill will come over to the Senate. Now, how the leadership is going to handle that, I have no way of knowing. But that reconciliation, that's where people like you and others around America are going to see just what kind of deals were made. And that's what whether or not something like that could pass, I just would not be in a position to know right now.
We talked a little bit about the price tag on this, Senator, and one of the big things that both parties have been talking about is deficit reduction. Republicans obviously believe this will greatly add to it. The Democrats say the CBO score shows that at least for the first 10 years, the deficit would be reduced according to their methodology. One of the things that you've been involved in the past couple of weeks is a debate over earmarks and whether or not those add to the deficit or whether they're an important part of legislating and making sure that proper policies get put in place. Explain your position on this about why earmarks should not be done away with entirely.
Yeah, well, before I do, let me reaffirm to everybody that just 2 weeks ago I was redesignated as the most conservative member of the United States Senate. But I'm also politically about the dumbest because I get into these things that people don't understand. An earmark doesn't, if you eliminate an earmark, Greg, it doesn't save one penny. I think we all know that. No one would deny that. All it does is take that amount and say it's not going to be designated for that. We send it to President Obama and he decides what it goes for. So you shift our constitutional responsibility to the president. The second thing that is my greatest fear, and I know it's going to happen, is when the House came out and with their rule saying that the Republican conference, they should not request any congressional earmarks, then they define it in Clause 9, Rule 21 of the House rules, and it says it would be defined as an authorization or appropriation. Well, that means that they have said we will not authorize or appropriate anything in the House and the Senate. And Article 1, Section 9 of the Constitution says that we have to do that. Now, you take an oath of office. I've taken it four times. Solemnly swear I will support and bear true allegiance to the Constitution It's really tough, and I know, because I've already heard it, the Rachel Maddows and all those extreme people are going to be talking about how the Republicans don't respect the Constitution. I'm afraid they'll try to drag in the Tea Party people with them, and I would hate to see that happen. So anyway, that's where we are, and also, the other thing I don't like about the earmark moratorium is you can get a big spending Republican and then have him rattle the sword on this earmark thing, say, I'm against all earmarks, and then people forget that that particular guy voted for maybe the $700 billion bailout or the $787 billion stimulus. So it's a way of concealing liberal votes. Let's wait and see.
Oklahoma Senator James Inhofe. On Monday, you'll hear part two of my conversation with Senator Inhofe, looking at the critical issues of energy reform, otherwise known as the cap and trade legislation, as well as his thoughts on the latest developments on the policy at Guantanamo Bay and where trials for detainees at Gitmo ought to be held. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.